chance you have. You have no chance. If you had a chance, you'd need to run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the baddest. Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the dens of lions. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good luchas.
I hate ducks.
Hit the duck. Yeah. They love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, woo, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the f***ing game, JR.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. And if the elevator tries to reach for hell, that's a mighty long time. But I'm in the same way.
All right, what is going on, everybody? I'm sure you're wondering, why is he playing that song? Well, 5 years ago today, 2016, we lost Prince. So figured I'd shout him a little tribute out, play a little song from him. We get a copyright strike, whatever. It's worth it for Prince there, man. It is worth it.
There you go.
Absolutely. You hear him over there. He is smark, and he is smarking it up. What is going on, brother? How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm doing well. I mean, I can understand how you could lose Prince. He was a very short man. Been very easy to misplace.
But a very good basketball player, if you listen to
incredibly so, yes.
I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, Charlie Murphy ain't gonna lie, as far as I'm concerned. So
this is true. I was the other day listening to a podcast. They were talking about, you remember the like congressional hearings that they had when they like went on an attack against like the record industry and stuff,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It all, you had like Dee Snider testifying before the Supreme Court and shit. And this, of course, what I didn't know, and it was probably obvious at the time, but I wasn't around for it, was that was all started by Tipper Gore, her daughter, listening to Purple Rain, the album, and Tipper Gore just freaking the fuck out. So basically, Prince ruined it for everybody, in a sense.
And then Two Live Crew said, hold our beer.
Oh, very much so.
Yeah, it was Al Gore and Tipper, his wife Tipper, and yes, their daughter. But yeah, they launched that whole charge. And listen, they got what they wanted. They got the explicit, you know, thing, the explicit tag on albums. So it worked. A lot of people didn't. I mean, for one of those minimal things to just slap a label on an album, hey, there's bad language in here. I think that was kind of not really the place to put our energy at the time. Yeah, I believe the Cold War was still going on, Smark. So,
well, I don't know if this was common knowledge or not, but from what I was hearing, they were saying on the podcast, it was they were kind of doing it as a leverage because they wanted to start instituting a tax on blank tapes.
Oh.
So the record industry was to make millions upon millions of dollars if that would have went through. So they like kind of played ball in hopes that that would have happened, and it did not happen. And so there you go.
Always about the money. There's always a dollar involved. Every time. Mm-hmm. Every time. And what are you going to do? But yeah. Yeah, it was, like I said, 5 years ago today. We did. And it's Nikki Cross's birthday also, Smark. What do you think of that? I think she's 32 today, I believe it was. Maybe 39, 30 something.
Very nice, yes. 30 yeah. something. That 30. Sounds good.
Yeah, there you go. That was a TV show. seriously, it was.
Indeed.
It was. I believe Timothy Busfield was on that show, actually.
No idea who that is, I'm not going to lie.
He was in Revenge of the Nerds. The dude with the red, okay. The crazy red hair dude.
To the Wikipedia or IMDb we go. Timothy Busfield, you say?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's been in a lot of stuff. He's been in a couple Law & Orders, Law & Order and SVU. Trust me. A lot of stuff. But I think he was in that show. Anyway, we're not here to talk TV. We're here to talk. We got wrestling to talk about. I guess we can go ahead and get the plugs done. And then get to the show. We've got a lot to get to. We've got, obviously, Raw, NXT, AEW. Let me just tell you all one thing about Raw. We're going to be talking less and less about Raw. Not because it's bad. It is, don't get me wrong.
Okay. I was going to say, somebody did not watch Raw the last, well, I was going to say this week, but it was the last 8 months to a year or so.
No. It is, but I mean, let's face it. This is 48 hours removed from Raw by the time we do the show. You guys have heard a lot. If, like I said, if there's anything you guys want us to bring up, we'll touch on. I mean, look, a return happened. A few things I do want to touch on tonight on Raw. We've got to talk about T-Bar and Mace. And like three other things after that, and that's it. Any other stuff, I really just think you guys have heard it all. We're going to start really talking less and less about Raw. NXT notes are going to be shorter. AEW, I mean, it was just on the night, so this is a good time to do it. So I'm not worried about how much we do for that. But Raw, I just want to warn you guys, I'm skipping a lot. It's going to be less and less for multiple reasons. Let's just leave it at that, for multiple reasons. I like that one. So... All right. In the meantime, Hill, let's go ahead and get these plugs knocked out. Let me get a song going in the old background here. And, of course, you guys know who you want to check out. The old High Marks. That's right. Cheese Man Mojo and G-Wiz over there. You want to be checking them out. Where are you going to check them out? Mixlr.com/MetalMitNetwork. That's right. There's two T's in Mitt. Don't forget the second T. Definitely check those guys out. Sunday nights, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, still want to go subscribe to Bobby Anthem and Bobby Blades on the Inhuman Experience. Get them, Apple, Google, anywhere you guys find podcasts. Definitely want to go subscribe to them. Check them out. Hey, we were talking about some real UFO shit last week. You know, I'm telling you, they're not going to have a choice soon. But so, and while you're subscribing, go ahead and hit the Unscripted Wrestling podcast. Everything Unscripted Wrestling, Eric, Doug, Daniel, all the cast of characters over there. Find them on all the usual podcast platforms also. And Blog Talk Radio. Check them out over there. Stephen Milan always sharing the show, and it is appreciated, sir. Check him out over there reviewing films. Letterboxd, boxd.com/Stephen Milan, two L's when you type Milan. And you guys know where to find us. Stitcher, iHeart, YouTube, Anchor, Google, Spotify, blah, 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 blah. Smart, smart.
That's right. Well, after that impassioned speech, I'm going to go ahead and remind our friends that you can go ahead and check out Cheese on Sports with Cheese Man Mondays, 8:30 at the Metal Mint Podcast Network right here on the Mixlr device. Luke Birch is also on that show, too. We thank him for joining us tonight. And be sure to, Sundays, 10:30 a.m., be sure to visit our friends at the Dirk City Machine Guns with Mojo and Dirk and the Last Never Ever Beast. Be sure to check out our friends at Planet Dragon Tour. This is the Planet Dragon Tour podcast with Bobby at the Papa Dave Sincere and Young Nasty. All 16 episodes are available for you. And if you haven't subscribed yet, then gosh darn it, do that today.
That's right. All episodes ready for you. Subscribe. You shall feel better about yourself. All right, there we go. Plugs are done. All right. Let me hit the old pause in here before we have a playlist going and I start freaking out. Okay. I see you guys talking about Beetlejuice. I got to ask, Little Beetlejuice or the movie? Like, the person or the movie are y'all talking about?
I was talking about the movie.
Okay.
I have seen the person, though.
Right, right, right. Okay, the movie. You just saw that? Wow, man. That's a classic.
Yeah, not too long ago. It was either last year or the year before, but it was relatively recent.
Great movie. Great, great movie. Michael Keaton, to me, is just awesome. I mean, Mr. Mom is my favorite John Hughes movie. Not a lot of people know that. That is a written by John Hughes movie. That's one of my favorites. He's the best Batman, if you ask me.
I was going to say he's the only Batman that matters. Not really, because I feel that way, just because I figure that if somebody hears that, they're going to be really pissed off. That's just the kind of energy I like to bring to things.
Yeah, there you go. But anyway, and him in Beetlejuice was fucking, no one else could have played that part the way he did. Absolutely nobody.
I did like that the Batman that he was in, I will say. Because I believe that's the first Tim Burton one.
Yep, Jack Nicholas.
Jack Nicholas is a golfer. You're thinking of Jack Nicholson?
Nicholson. I swear to God, I mixed those two up. That Nicholas used to be my account. The golf guy. They used to be in Jupiter, Florida. That was my account. That's why I get them mixed up all the fucking time, dude.
I mean, he probably would have been more effective if he went at Batman with a golf club. I like it.
I think he had a golf club at one point in that movie, actually.
May have. Perfect kind of it ties in with everything, because that was fucking the soundtrack to that movie had Bat Dance by Prince.
Yes, sir.
So it all goes together.
There you go. And I do like that movie. That was a good one. That was a very good one right there. Kim Basinger was in it, or Basinger, however you want to say her name. Everyone said it different. But anyway, movies, man. But yeah, that was a Beetlejuice, man. Classic movie. Always a good movie to watch. I'll watch that. If it's on TV with commercials, I'm good. I'll watch it. All right. I'm just shocked. Shocked sometimes that you whippersnappers haven't seen these movies that I grew up with.
One day at a time, I'm getting there. I've been catching up on some of the classics. We've been talking about that.
Oh, yeah. Well, hopefully I'll be able to talk more about some of these classic movies. We'll see about that. Anyway, let's go ahead and get into some wrestling, I guess. We got the plugs done. We got the movie talk done, which usually we either talk movies or food at the beginning of the show. I've noticed it just works its way in there one way or the other. So, I don't know. But don't talk food. I'm hungry. Let's just not even bother with food. But we can talk some wrestling. Like I said, Raw. I guess we can get through Raw. Like I said, I do not have a lot to get through in Raw. I guess we can end Raw with the T-Bar and Mace shit. I've got a couple of clips to play. Let's start with this. Like I said, I've only got three or four little things to tap on here, and then we're done with Raw. We had Cedric and Shelton with the Viking Raiders again, Smark.
Mm-hmm.
And already, Cedric and Shelton not even getting an entrance.
Nope.
And then, I don't know if you caught this, but what... It irked me. I just wanted Adnan to catch on here. I'm like, dude, catch on. You're fucking up. Adnan kept called the Viking Raiders finisher the Viking Express.
Mm-hmm.
Corey very subtly just mentions the correct name of the move and moves on. Just subtly corrects him and moves on. Adnan once again goes right back and calls it the fucking Viking Express again. And I was like, dude. Corey's going to hit you.
He's just trying to will it into existence. That's what he wants it to be called. He's hoping it's going to catch on.
Well, you never know with the WWE. They might like it. But they've already got the Strowman Express. You know, you can't... They don't do that there.
Right. There's a limit of transportation-based names that you can use. I understand.
Right, right. I mean, if he was the trolley line, maybe. Braun the trolley line, Braun the trucker. I could see him. Oh, that's a good one. Braun the trucker. Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Just coming down in a trucker hat. Wah, wah, start the convoy. Wah, wah. Okay. Poor Braun.
I like it.
Oh, you know what? Please don't fuck this. Don't fuck up Braun any more than he already is. I'm kidding. I'm joking. No one listen to me. I'm stupid and high and drinking my first beer. Leave me alone.
I think it has legs. I feel like eating a lot lizard.
God damn it! No legs.
He comes out like eating beef jerky. It's just great.
Oh come on, everybody! No. Everyone loves beef jerky. Let's not start that shit now.
Oh, no, I love beef jerky, too, but I'm just saying that seems like that would be a appropriate snack for a truck driver.
Let's not put truck drivers.
It's portable.
It is, but let's not put truck drivers in that beef jerky box. I mean, everyone loves them some beef jerky, man. That's fucking it's good shit.
I would like to literally be inside of a beef jerky box. That sounds like a fun afternoon.
Okay. How about a tub?
Hmm.
No? Okay.
I like it.
All right.
You need some gravy, I guess, to make it kind of, you know, if it's going to be a tub, you need some liquid in there.
Yeah, I guess. But anyway, not only did the Adnan and Corey thing kind of just piss me off, I was like, catch on. But Cedric and Shelton getting no entrance, just, like I said, man, I mean, they were a big part of that Hurt Business storyline, a big part in the beginning. And even a big part in the middle, just the end here, they started kind of fading out. But do we really need to just like throw them to the fucking sidelines like this fast, this abruptly?
Do we need to? No. Are they going to? Yes, unfortunately. Well, I mean, we all kind of knew this was coming and here it is. So what can you do?
I know, but when something is so predictable, sometimes they just do the opposite just to fuck with us. And I was kind of hoping maybe they'd be like, look at the internet saying we're going to fuck these guys up. And they, you know, wouldn't. And then next thing you know, they're like, look, they were right. We fucked them up. Way to go, Vince.
We'll show you. We'll fuck them up after all.
Oh, we're not just going to bury them. They're not even getting an entrance, motherfuckers. We're going to go above and beyond your bullshit. you guys are talking about Deo. I believe that's old Harry Belafonte singing Deo there.
Indeed.
He's a Deo. Anyway, I did want to touch on this Charlotte thing a little bit, just because, obviously, this Charlotte and Asuka thing. And, I mean, this is... Let's face it, Mark. The storyline is going where we thought it was going to go, like, day one of Charlotte coming back to be with, like, and joined Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
It's going exactly the way we thought it would go. didn't expect Rhea to be in there. I'm actually happy Rhea's in there. But, you know, Charlotte's coming out. She's cutting the same promo. You know, respect, blah, 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 biggest star. Blah, blah, you're all rats. I thought that was a little odd. She called the roster rats.
Yeah, that was a unique and interesting choice of words. I mean, she's basically talking about how disingenuous they are. They claim that they're happy for each other, but they're not, which is probably true. But anyways, what makes me laugh, though, is, and I want to ask you a question about this in a minute, but the match, when she was supposed to be a face, you had her act like just a conceited asshole, for lack of a better term.
Or Charlotte. Okay.
Well, yes. You had her be her.
Keep going.
But okay, now she's a heel.
Mm-hmm.
She had, the end of that match, she goes for the figure four. She bridges out. Rhea Ripley grabs her arms, breaks it up. She kind of, they start pulling at each other's hair. This is a very sort of early 2000s catfight-esque situation we've got going on. Referee does not see it. Charlotte gets rolled up. She did not cheat at all, but yet she was, the heel was dicked over. Mm-hmm. So, like, okay, when she's supposed to be a face, you make her as unlikable as humanly possible. Now that she's a heel, you dick her over and actually, like, make her a sympathetic figure in a sense. So it's like, what the fuck are they doing? And that was one thing. The other thing was, I saw the Hulu version of this match. I don't know, did you see the full version? Because what I heard was that there was a fuck ton of botches, but that did not carry over to the Hulu version.
No, I guess I didn't see him either on the Hulu version. Ah, I'll have to go back and watch that. I'll have to go back and watch that, man. Yeah, there's a lot in this whole thing that doesn't make sense. Again, you know, Charlotte, usual thing. Obviously, they're setting up to a triple threat here, which I'm fine with it. If long as Rhea ends up pulling it out, which that ain't gonna happen. Now, it. You know, weeks of teaming up, suddenly Charlotte's out. I don't like Asuka. I never did. We're like, well, no shit. But what really are they going with here? Couldn't they have just done the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and that's why I kind of used you to keep in the title picture, and that they have to go with this whole convoluted bullshit?
Right. No, I get it. It doesn't make sense to me either, because it's like you're sort of building it on the idea that we cared about their friendship, which you already told us was a business relationship. It was more of an association than it was a friendship in the first place. So there you go, you know, hey.
There was a natural progression to this storyline, right? And they literally just said, why don't we go the weird way? Instead of the way, like I said, the story's pretty much going how we thought. Like I said, none of us knew Rhea was going to be involved. She was still in NXT at the time. But I just don't understand why they couldn't have just let this storyline go. Now it's just, oh, I don't like her. It could have been, there was no reason to even put that in there. It was just, I used her. Did you not know I was using you? I mean, they were making it obvious the whole fucking time. I use you to stay in the title picture. Now look, I'm right back where I should be, rightfully. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah.
She throws on a cape and then, you know, bites the referee's neck. I get it.
I mean, she looks completely different, by the way.
Well, apparently she's probably going to look a little bit more different when she gets back, based on the rumors that I was hearing, because she got suspended indefinitely.
Yes, officially suspended and fined $100,000. They don't actually collect that, right? I'm just kidding. I'm joking. I'm joking. I'm kidding.
I would totally love it if they did. Where it's like, wait a minute. Hold on. What? I thought this shit was kayfabe. Like, fucking IRS is just standing there waiting. It's like, I've come to collect.
I'll tell you what, Charlotte and fucking Andrade better stop the, you know, just fucked pictures.
Yeah, I've seen those too recently.
And listen, I'm not saying I got a problem with them. I just have a feeling the company you work for might just be like, hey, could you stop the banged vigorously pictures, maybe? You think?
I just like the idea that there's probably like every company in the world right now is trying to reach out to Andrade. He's like, I just need some time to kind of figure things out, guys. And then there's just a bunch of pictures of them just like fucking on a beach. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, he's literally just got a handful of her ass on the beach, which I don't know how he did that, but
tiny hands.
I don't know. Must have tiny hands or I don't know. I mean, you can pick up a 2x4 too, but anyway, I do want to touch on the Riddle versus Randy match. That was a very good match. Riddle winning. Riddle is a believable guy that could beat Orton, just size-wise, skill-wise, physicality-wise. But I really like the match. Great back and forth with these two. A couple of little spots in there didn't go so well either, but damn good match.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would say probably of the matches that night, that was probably the best one.
Yeah.
It's good length. You said, good physicality to it, some good reversals and whatnot. And then you ended up having Riddle kind of pull off the surprise victory. I like the idea of Orton not knowing who Riddle was and just being pissed off by it. Because he literally went to, and that was an interesting part of the Hulu version, because you have Orton cutting a promo and then Riddle shows up on a scooter and starts riding around and just being Riddle.
Yeah.
Orton gets mad and he walks off, but they immediately cut to him in Pierce's office, so it looks like Orton has the ability to fucking teleport, which is wild. I guess he did wrestle the Fiend, so maybe he kind of, through osmosis, picked that up. Mm. But then he just goes, well, you know, this little blonde kid, he's pissing me off. I don't know his name. You know what? Don't tell me his name. I don't care. Give me a match with him. I want to rip his head off. It's like, all right, cool.
Don't tell me his name. No one cares about his name anyway. Just don't even tell it to me. All right. I just wanted to mention how good of a match that was and all the stuff about all that. So, and then we get Alexa's Playground.
Mm-hmm.
Once again with Lily talking and what the hell? Let's just play it.
Did you hear?
Uh-oh. Yes. Let's stop the commercial first and then we'll play it. So just give us about 8 seconds here and then I'll turn this back on. And we'll actually hear Alexa's Playground. Here we go. Coming up right now.
Let me tell you a little something about Lily. She didn't just come into my life around WrestleMania. We've actually been best friends for a very, very long time. And one time we were on a playground, just like this one. And there's another little girl being mean to me. She said I couldn't have a bite of her ice cream cone. Which I don't really like strawberry anyway. But you want to know what I did? I shoved that little right off the swing. She fell on her ass and broke her arm. Then I got to eat up all of her ice cream.
Okay. So they photoshopped Lily in all these pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then Alexa's telling this cool story about wanting to eat someone's ice cream, which is fucking gross. I just licked this. No. Not eating my ice cream cone. And then she pushes the girl down, and they say her arm is broken. So where would that put the ice cream cone?
You know, that is a real good question that I, as you were saying it, I was piecing together. Because I was just getting the mental image of, okay, she's on the swing with the ice cream cone. Alexa pushes her off. She falls. Is Alexa also on the swing? Or does Alexa, just manage to somehow catch this ice cream cone in the air? The scoop doesn't come out of the ice cream cone.
Mm.
Or is she just eating the ice cream cone off the ground? Like, there's a lot of variables here. There's plot holes.
There are real plot holes, sir. Absolutely. But anyway. I mean, Alexa still looks good, so I guess that's something. Let's just keep going. We only got we don't have a lot left here.
Sure.
That was fun. And when the teachers asked me why I shoved that mean little girl, I just simply told them the truth. Lily made me do it. The teachers all thought I was bonkers. But if Lily doesn't like something, she has no problem letting you know. Yeah, I'll get to the point. So all the little girls on the Raw roster, there's something very important you should know. Lily didn't like him. And Lily doesn't like any of you.
And Lily speaks. Mm-hmm. Well, not really speaks, just giggles and gives a little bite to the camera.
Does her best John Kinsier impression, doing some old Tales from the Crypt.
Is she going to kill someone?
I hope so. That'd be pretty cool.
I mean, this is getting a little scary over here. And it's kind of, what's she going to do here? What's she going to do?
Just fucking decapitates Adam Pearce.
Probably not a good idea, but I mean, anything could happen. Who knows? Anyway, I really didn't want to type all that, so I figured I would play it. But yeah, I guess we're going to see more demonic Alexa Bliss. I like this character. She's good at it. Let's see where they keep going with it. It looks like she's evolving this character, kind of like Bray Wyatt did with his character. So we'll see where it's going. That's all. And then one more thing, and then we'll wrap the T-Bar and Mace thing around the whole show. It was great to see Humberto Carrillo back. Sheamus issued an open challenge. Humberto Carrillo comes out looking great, answers the challenge. Match never happened. He just got his ass kicked by Sheamus. But hey, maximize your minutes, right?
Rug kicked him right back to main event. Poor guy, I feel for him.
I do too, man. You know, anyway, I guess we can just skip all that and just go with it. Great to see him back. Great to see him back. But so we get this whole T-Bar and Mace thing. T-Bar and Mace went up against Drew McIntyre, and then Mace and T-Bar went up against Braun Strowman, but Braun Strowman ripped the mask off of him,
mm-hmm.
and he ended up slapping Mace with the mask.
Yes.
So everyone's like, look, they're unmasked. And and the commentary team, I'm sitting there going, hey, he used to be where you guys are, that one guy. And the other guy doesn't look like Dijakovic. He looks like I've been in a mask and don't give a shit what my face looks like anymore. Yee-hoo!
That's the funny part about it, though, is that like the mask, both of the masks that they have on, Mace and T-Bar, are both like kind of open-faced masks. They're almost like, you know, kind of like a variant of like a COVID mask. Like you can still see their face.
Right.
You can still piece together who it is that they are, like large portions of their, you know, it's not like, you know, Hayabusa, when he wore that mask, that it was supposed to be some secret identity. It was just a cool mask. Mm. So it's like, we already know who these people are. This is like some great big surprise, like when like Rey Mysterio unmasked or some shit. Like, it's like, these are these two guys. And then that was a disqualification for some reason. I don't understand why. That what was great about that, though, was it started off as a handicap match. There's a disqualification, so they made it a tag team match, Teddy Long style, and then it still fucking ended in a disqualification. So what was the point of that? And by that I mean Raw, but also this match.
Very true. And then, you know, when they were still masked, though, right after the first match they had with Drew, they cut a very weird promo in the back.
Yes. Mace just started listing off like all of the animals he saw on his recent trip to the zoo.
I have it.
Very nice.
Only 27 seconds, and it's very confusing. A little crowd noise in the background. I tried to clean it up. The more I cleaned it up, the worse the audio got, so bear with me.
Cats. Dogs. Birds. Porcupines. Hedgehogs. Snakes. Saber-toothed tiger. It's extinct, right?
Sure is.
Gone. Forever. Exactly what we're going to do when we finish off Drew McIntyre.
So, if they were naming extinct things, I know birds still exist. I see them every day. Hedgehogs. Still here. Where were they going with this?
It's a very good question.
Well, thank you.
I'm kind of hoping that this leads to just a weekly promos where he just compares his opponents to animals. You can get like the boring British guy from the BBC that does all those animal documentaries. Mm. He'll just like be there too. He'll be as their manager. It'll be perfect.
There you go. I'll take a swig there. Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm.
But
I was going to back you up, then all of a sudden I got a dog tongue in the face. So I had to
aww,
stop.
Doggy kissies. Yeah, that was an odd one. That was a very odd one. Don't know where they were going. I hope they can do something a little better than what they're doing with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was nonsensical, but that's still sort of better than what they had before, which kind of just tells you how bad what they had before was.
Yeah, I guess we can go there with that, so... All right, let's touch on a few things in NXT. I literally have four notes about NXT. I swear to God, that's it.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, we can talk about the first thing and kind of get into the main event right there, which will do that. And then I really got only three other things to really discuss, and then I think that's it, man. It really wasn't a wild show this week, to be honest with you. So first thing I need to ask, Mark, What the fuck was Kyle O'Reilly wearing?
I'm gonna stop you right there, because I don't know who Kyle O'Reilly is. That's in the past. We are in the era. We are in the day of Cool Kyle.
Cool Hand Kyle. Okay.
That's right. That's what he said his name was. He's Cool Kyle now. So
looked like low budget Orange Cassidy, which is scary because Orange Cassidy isn't. Indy or Orange Cassidy, but this guy looked even grimier with speaking of grimy, at least we got some Cameron Grimes in this.
That's right, we did.
And this was all the setup for the main event, blah blah, same kind of shit. O'Reilly did hit Grimes with a nice right hook, which did bring us to the main event, where of course O'Reilly did end up winning that match too. And I mean, it was a fine match. Nothing. You got any wow moments that I'm missing here that I didn't see?
Not necessarily. I mean, I've liked it, sort of. I don't know how I feel about this whole Cool Kyle King thing, because he shows up, he's got this ridiculous hat on, he's got like sunglasses, he's wearing the jean vest or whatever, and he's being a very interesting person. And then you get somebody who is actually good at doing character work come out, and they go back and forth for a little while. And the match itself, I like the match. It was a really good main event. I thought it was way better than the main event last week, I thought. This main event last week was a little bit of a circus show, but in a good way. But this was just a straight up, like, kind of solid wrestling match. I like the idea that I don't think they're putting it over on commentary, so I don't think it's intentional. But I sort of like the idea of Grimes wrestling as a sort of idiot savant type character. Because if you look like at he towards the end of the match, O'Reilly had him in like a guillotine choke,
right?
And Grimes went limp, so he let go of the choke, and then Grimes immediately countered him, and then O'Reilly went for an ankle lock. And Grimes was trying to get out, but then he realized that O'Reilly's shoulders were on the mat, so he just like grabbed his legs and leaned forward and pinned him. Which, again, he didn't end up winning the match, but I just like the idea of him just occasionally either just stumbling onto good moments of where he just wrestles brilliantly, unintentionally, or just him being this sort of like crazy country bumpkin guy that still just secretly very intelligent. I like that idea about it.
Just kind of break out the old technical genius every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. Yeah. But I don't know. I just thought it was a weird setup and a fine main event. None of the matches here were bad. It was just some of them just don't have a lot to give input. And I'm sitting there going, if I don't have much input to give, I'm just going to skip the fucking match. I do need to ask you, though, what are they doing with Dexter Lumis?
That's a real good question. Because, I mean, the guy, the idea is that the guy is supposed to be a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Sort of. Like, he's, you know, but then he just, like, he's like the sociopathic serial killer type guy, but now he's in love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, this is, you know, where are you going with this? I'm curious. I kind of like it, but, like, what does this do for him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, like, you could have put anybody in this role.
They're going to have him out there just losing matches to this fucking LA Knight guy and shit like that. By the way, it's a stupid fucking move off the ropes he did.
Oh, God, that looked fucking terrible. Like, it doesn't look so bad when he does it, like, in the ring, but he was doing it with the ropes involved, and it didn't look like it connected at all. It just looked like dog shit.
Yeah, stupid move. Stupid win. Stupid LA Knight.
There you go.
Jesus Christ. Anyway, sorry about that. My God. You know what? I'm not here.
Yeah, well, I'll say it. He's stupid. He's stupid, stupid. He's so stupid. Stop. He's stupid.
There you go.
Right?
Okay. So, after that, we finally get the debut of Saray out there, going against Zoe Stark. Got a handshake at the beginning of the match. I like Saray. Don't know much about her, but I like, she's having fun. She's pumping up the, you know, finger quote crowd during submission moves and shit. I'm still confused on why they're just kind of using Zoe as this kind of good hand still, but I guess, you know, at least she's getting TV time.
Yeah, I mean, like I said before, because the idea is that they've had her compete in some high-profile matches. Just hopefully, I think they'll start to implement the fact that this experience actually benefits her. And she, when she's in like positions similar to the ones that she's encountered where she's lost, mm-hmm. she'll be able to pull it out. But I mean, at this point, they're just having her like wrestle big matches and then just lose like all the time. So at some point, you have to pivot from that. But right. I don't know when or if that's going to happen.
Yeah. I don't know either, but I mean, she's really good in the ring. Obviously, like I said, they're using her as that, you know, good hand or, you know, the mechanic, almost like a, like Steve Austin, you know, kind of old Steve Austin, the ringmaster type character. And no, I'm not saying she's like Steve Austin. They're doing fine trying to make Moxley Steve Austin over there.
Well, I mean, apparently we're going to be getting Ted DiBiase not too long from now, so, you know, it's not out of the question.
No, I guess nothing's out of the question, but really good match. Saray did win this match, little hug between them at the end there, and then Toni Storm came out and attacked Zoe, kind of ruining the moment there for Saray, but whatever. And the only other thing I got is Kushida successfully defending the Cruiserweight Championship against Oney Lorcan. This was another open challenge we got because, you know, we don't get enough open challenges on these shows anymore. After the match, Legado del Fantasma, they attack him. MSK runs out, and them and Kushida clear the ring. I mean, Kushida, great, always good in the ring. I've been, you know, trying to put him over really a lot lately because of how good he is. Oney Lorcan, good in the ring too. I think the name is stupid, but who gives a shit?
It was a little bit weird. It was a good match, but it was a little bit weird seeing him wrestle as a cruiserweight of sorts. I mean, it was a cruiserweight title, but he just doesn't necessarily fit that cruiserweight build in the sense that he's not, you know, one of those flippy guys.
Right.
So it's just kind of, it was a little bit weird of seeing like somebody who's more of a technical wrestler in the cruiserweight, the tight in the match for the cruiserweight title. But that was, like I said, it was a good match. changing the look up for Kushida again, huh?
Mm-hmm.
No yeah. shoes this time. He's paying homage to his childhood hero, Matt Riddle.
There you go. I don't know. It looks like they're trying a few different things with him. Just see what works, what doesn't. Throwing some shit against the wall, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably about it.
Yeah. Throwing a little shit against the wall, man.
So there was one little thing that I wanted to talk about, and it's reminiscent of how Charlie does her interviews on SmackDown, but or Kayla rather, Kayla does her interviews on SmackDown. They did an interview with Io Shirai, mm-hmm. where it's like a pre-recorded interview, and it's like she's sitting at like a conference table with Beth Phoenix, and Beth Phoenix pulls up this video, and it's basically just highlights of her just getting beaten up and then losing her title. And Beth Phoenix is basically like, all right, so you got your ass kicked. Thoughts? I was like, I love this fucking interview style where it's like, all right, here's you being humiliated. What do you have to say about this? Like, it's just great. Like, this is not the kind, you don't hear these interview questions being asked in other sports. So that was lovely. So you just had her out there. She was basically saying that she was tired, and, you know, this, that, and the third. She put all this energy into defending her title, and it was just... it wasn't her night, so she's got to move on. But then you get Frankie Monet coming out there or interrupting the interview with her dog. And then that was interesting. So there you go. But by the by, I was thinking about it earlier. They missed an opportunity because Frankie Monet sounds a lot more like a name that befits the sort of old school thing that they were trying to have Lacey Evans do. Because I would definitely think of like a cabaret singer with that kind of a name.
Very, very much so, yes. Definitely. Most definitely. so, yeah. Yeah. I like Beth Phoenix, man. I always have. So, I honestly didn't catch that, but I kind of had to skim through, man. I've been so busy lately.
Yeah, I hear you. I was right there with you. But, yeah, it was interesting because she, like I said, she comes... this is like a pre-recorded segment. They're sitting at a conference table. They saw this whole thing. She talks about her title reign coming to an end. Beth Phoenix is asking her what she's going to do. She says she just needs time to rest and figure shit out. Mm-hmm. Frankie comes in with the dog and like just kind of insults her a little bit. And then Io goes on this long rant in her language in Japanese about God knows what, I don't know. But it was kind of funny because Frankie goes, ah, I don't understand. And then she just looks at her and goes, I like cats better, and storms off.
Okay.
She insulted her dog. There's been a lot of dog-related insults because last week you had Raquel Gonzalez talking about she was going to shove the dog up her ass.
Yeah.
So this poor dog has been through the ringer and it has done nothing to no one. The dog is a true face in this situation.
The dog is just an innocent bystander just being used here. It's horrible. It's horrible. Very sympathetic baby face.
Mm-hmm.
Very sympathetic baby face, that dog. And he is adorable.
Yeah, he is a good boy.
Is that a Pomeranian? Is that what that is?
I think. I'm not entirely sure. I'm not super well-versed on like the miniature dog breeds. I'm more of a big dog kind of a guy.
Well, you got Rottweilers.
Like a Roman Reigns.
I just heard one, what, get up? Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. That's a big paw I just heard right there. All right, I guess we can go ahead and run through AEW. We are making great time here. I'm loving this. We start out with Ricky Starks versus Hook. Ricky Starks with Hook versus Hangman Adam Page. We get Taz on commentary for this match. Hook out there with no hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
No hoodie. Page did win this match. It was a good match. They had some long matches tonight on this show, man. Really did.
They did. It was interesting because they kind of built a match around the idea of, you didn't quite know for sure whether it was legit or not for a minute there. Ricky Starks landed awkwardly on his foot. Yeah, so it looked like he kind of messed up his angle a little bit. And then that, of course, ended up coming into play later on in the finish. So presumably everything is all right. We don't know for sure, but it was an interesting match. I like AEW has sort of have AEW sort of has a bit of some reoccurring gags that they like to do. Mm. For some reason, they love having Tony Schiavone just like interview Sting. That's a thing that they like to do. But yeah. The thing that I like that they're doing the most is that just for some reason, they love having Taz on when his guys lose. So it seems like they just bring Taz out there on commentary specifically so that he can watch his guys lose the match.
Yeah.
I feel bad for poor old Taz.
And he can just bitch. But, you know, Ricky Starks did come limping down to the ring. I think it was for the Hobbs versus Christian match, or was it? No, it was the Darby Allin match.
Yeah. Well, it was Hobbs versus Christian was,
right,
I believe, where he would have been. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He did come limping down, jumping pretty far on one leg. I got to tell you that shit. Pretty cool there. But yeah. And that match was, while we're talking about it, that, talk about an unnecessarily long match.
Yeah.
Unnecessarily long. I'm sitting there watching this going, okay. Okay, anytime now. You can end this anytime now, and it's another commercial break. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
Unfortunately, yeah, that was a problem. The problem with this show specifically was there was some pretty big peaks and valleys, because it starts off, you know, you get the, well, like we were talking about, we get the Hangman Ricky Starks match, and that was really good. And then you kind of transition into the Pentagon Trent match, not so good. Then you start getting QT Marshall versus Billy Gunn.
Oh.
Boy.
We'll talk about that. We will.
And then you get this one. You get this one. So there this, you get the excitement was like it was building, and then it just took a fucking nosedive.
Yeah. Definitely did, man. It most definitely did. But you're right that we did have some good matches tonight. Like you said, I mean, we were just talking about the, you know, we'll get into the Billy Gunn one. I actually got a couple of things to say about that. So we'll wait for that.
That's a couple more than I have. So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, then we'll get through awfully quick. Again, I, after Paige won this match, the beginning match here, which again, good match. Taz tells him to literally watch his back as Hook jumps him from behind. Cage comes down. And is about to pile drive, looks like, or something, probably power bomb. Paige, Dark Order comes out for the save. But, and again, they really like this chaos all the time, every match. Anyway, they really like this chaos. So the chaos continues a little bit here. We got Pentagon with his translator. They said his name, and I didn't catch it. My daughter was screaming right when they said it.
Ah, God.
And I looked it up, and it's very hard to find. So it's probably in one of the results that have come up in the, you know, the live results. If you can find it, I don't really like just calling him his translator. Kind of feel like I'm disrespectful.
Alex. It's not Alex Marvez, but it's, and I just have a hard time pronouncing the name.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll just go ahead and call him Alex.
Okay, Alex. There you go. At least we can call him something. That's fine. Guy's kind of good in this role. I like him. He's got something. I don't know who he is, but I'm liking this guy, this little translator guy.
It's interesting because he's apparently a, like, I'll go ahead and post the link to his Twitter here on the old Mixlr device, but he's a guest host, or I guess an on-air presenter, but he writes it in his bio as a guest host. Guest host for HP on QVC.
Ah, I see that.
So it's a very unlikely position in order, you know, in terms of where you would go to find on-air wrestling talent, but hey, there you go.
They've got to know him from somewhere. Maybe Don West. Maybe.
Oh, man. I could go for a Don West company.
Oh, I could really I? Could. Alex, let me try this. Abrahantes.
I believe, yeah.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with Abrahantes. Good. I'm glad we got his name because, like I said, I can't rewind. And I'm like, fuck, I wanted to actually call this guy by name. So let's hit the old follow button here. There we go. Dirt Cheat Dude's now following this guy. Ooh, we're not following Wardlow? Come on, we got to follow Wardlow. I am not following Proud and Powerful. No, I will follow them separately.
I do follow Santana, but I do kind of feel like maybe I'm missing out. Maybe Ortiz would be the more lively of the two. But
Santana looked like an extra in an '80s video, music video tonight.
Yeah, he's definitely cultivating an interesting look, but I just don't quite know what that look is. I think you hit the nail. You have a better explanation of that than I do.
Yeah. He looked like he was in the Beat It video with Michael Jackson.
Something like that. Yeah, I could see him being like a B-boy, doing some breaking.
There you go. All right, whatever you say. Anyway, Pentagon with Alex Abrahantes. If I'm saying it wrong, I apologize, but at least I'm trying. Versus Trent, who came down with Orange Cassidy, the somehow higher budget Kyle O'Reilly. You know, I got to tell you, a lot of times I forget that Trent is actually very good. WWE just, I know he's been gone from there for a while. I'm not big on the best friends gimmick. I actually think Chuck Taylor is highly overrated. But I forget this guy's actually very good.
He is. He definitely is. It's one of those things where he doesn't necessarily on his own have a very dynamic personality, so he does a good job of playing along with everything that Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy are doing, so you can kind of lump him. It can be easy for him to be kind of lumped in as only being there as sort of comedy fodder. So yeah, he could definitely go. What I thought was funny was you had sort of the return of old Salty JR, one of my absolute favorite things about all AEWs. You had Salty JR, because you have Trent go for this dive to the outside, the tope con heel, I believe it was, that he did, and you have Excalibur, I believe it was, that asked Jim Ross if he thought it was a good idea for somebody coming off of a torn pectoral, I believe it was, to be doing such a dive. And he said, well, it looked real nice, but it didn't get the job done. So there's your answer. And I'm like, geez, JR. And then he goes for a pile driver on the apron. And JR basically says something along the lines of, I think that Trent got the worst of that because he basically just fell and landed on his hip and Penta didn't take anything.
He did.
I was like, Jesus, dude, you are breaking out the shovel tonight.
Well, JR was spot on with that pile driver. That was in my notes how that was very odd. His hands just kind of there you go, Dirk. He was keeping it real. JR was. He was it was awful. He had no hands anywhere. It looked like he did just fall. And if you look at, I mean, Penta pushes off his legs to fall. Penta did all the work.
Mm-hmm.
It was bad. It was bad. It was very bad. Soon after that, though, I guess we shouldn't concentrate on, I mean, like I said, it was still a good, literally I'm typing how I forget that Trent is damn good, and then he fucks up that pile driver, and I'm like, should I delete that?
I mean, it was one move in the,
I'm not gonna
in the grand scheme of things, isn't such a bad thing. I enjoyed it too, I will say. I was talking about Jim Ross sort of shitting on Trent, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and then once again, old Alex there comes in. He stops Trent when he's about to do something to Pentagon. He tells him and all his friends suck, and his mom sucks most of all. That's a low blow. I chase you down for this shit. Trent gets in the ring with the chair. He's looking at Alex. Orange Cassidy is behind Alex. Penta ended up kicking Orange Cassidy, and then the usual AEW chaos finish happens.
Yeah. Pentagon ends up picking up the win, but yeah, there's a lot of fuckery, as we like to say, involved.
Yeah. And speaking of Salty JR, we get this little thing with Pinnacle and JR back there where MJF gets a new scarf. They keep saying that that JR called it the Immortal promo. By Jericho, right? Was that what they were calling it? The Immortal?
Right, yes.
And every time they made fun of JR, he'd just look at him and go, yep. Yep, that's what I called it. Uh-huh. What you gonna do about it? I'm old. Fuck you. Kill me. Be with my wife, bitch. I want to die.
All right. Mr. Ross, that's not wise.
Can you not listen to this goddamn commentary and tell?
Oh, my God. Well, they got a partnership with Impact. Maybe you bring back Josh Matthews. You have Jim Ross trying to off himself every week, a la Tim White.
I know that was morbid. I apologize. I'm sorry, everybody.
I wanted it.
I'm sorry.
Some people see a bridge, I see an opportunity.
Charlotte?
Well, yes, because it's a flat, narrow surface.
Go ahead, hit me with a 4x4. I don't give a shit.
Tried to cut my wrist. All it came out was barbecue sauce. It was the worst damn day of my life.
Oh, God. All right, we're going too far.
I'm going to have a good hour of just enjoying suicidal Jim Ross on my own after the show, so I appreciate that.
All right, well, you do that. But got to tell you, a little eye-opener here in this little skit for me was Wardlow with a hell of a promo here.
Mm-hmm.
I think... the day Wardlow goes on his own, I think he's going to be just fine. Guy can talk. I didn't realize he could talk, but fucker can talk.
Yeah, he did good on this. I liked it too. I thought it was a little bit weird that they were specifically talking about the bad guys, talking about how good of a promo it was that Jericho cut. Well, it's weird because then it kind of breaks the fourth wall, and maybe not in a way that I necessarily enjoy. Because it's like it's not supposed to be looked at as necessarily cutting a promo. It's supposed to be looked at as, you know, you don't like this person and you're shit talking.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're right. It did come off that. And by the way, before anyone says, you know, that was pre-taped. I do. And I know they could have done this many times with Wardlow, but I don't give a shit. It came off very good. And yes, Dirk, I agree. MJF's promo was better, but it's MJF, dude. I mean, the guy is just, he can always let it go out there as far as I'm concerned. The guy can talk a fucking blue streak.
I thought he had a little bit of an interesting angle there, talking about how Jericho's, like, sort of strategy to stay relevant was wrestling people that were more popular than he was, mm-hmm. or is.
Is.
That was kind of an interesting, and I mean, that's still more kind of the fourth wall breaking, but a little bit less sort of flagrant. So I enjoyed that part of it. There was another. Oh, he had mentioned that at his point, at 25, when, you know, MJF is 25, when Jericho was 25, he said that he was curtain jerking on Saturday Night Main Event.
Mm-hmm.
Or not Saturday Night Main Event. What was the fucking WCW Saturday show?
It was Shotgun?
Nah, that was WWF. Oh, God, Saturday Night.
Saturday, it wasn't Saturday Nitro. What was their Saturday show? Oh, my God, dude. Chat room will let us know.
I think it was just Saturday Night. I'm going to look it up.
It might have been. Go ahead and look it up for that. But this whole thing was leading up to them announcing their match between them and Inner Circle on Cinco de Mayo, May 5th at Blood and Guts. Blood and Guts, yep. Which, go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, Saturday night. That's it. That was the old 6:05.
There you go. Saturday night. Saturday night wrestling. That's that's simple. Wow. It wouldn't fly in 2021. Anyway. Yes, May 5th at Blood and Guts, they're gonna go ahead and do that. I think that's just gonna be a Dynamite. There's no more pay-per-view. No, they're not doing another pay-per-view already. They wouldn't do that to us, would they? No, not yet. No, it's a Wednesday. It's a Wednesday, so it's just going to be a special episode of Dynamite, and that'll be a good match right there. That'll be a nice little whatever they do. I'm kind of hoping we get some cinematic shit with these two guys. I think it warrants it.
Sure.
Yeah, I think this warrants some definite cinematic stuff, so fingers crossed that's going to happen with these guys.
Well, they were promising a parlay, so I don't know. That might that's for next week. So the, the space in between where we are now to the May 5th, they might end up doing that and a little bit of cinematic stuff for that next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get some really good stuff. I mean, we got a tease, a kind of a teaser trailer this week, if you want, whatever you want to call it. But we'll see. Hopefully, I definitely think these guys can keep it going. And you know what? From there, let's go ahead and just jump to the kind of rebuttal by Inner Circle, and then we can go back. Eh, what the hell? We'll might as well keep it all together instead of whatever. We don't have commercials or sponsors, right? So Inner Circle does, after a couple of segments, they come out there, and they're out there to talk to Schiavone. And I got to tell you, man, I'm so glad that Inner Circle is back as babyfaces, because Jericho's entrance is never for a heel. The crowd is so energetic for him, singing his song to him, and he looks like the proud father taking it all in. I mean, and he should be. It's him singing his song. They are singing his song to him. And it just, this group is more, they're better off being babyfaces. They're better at the sort of cocky, funny babyfaces than they are the heels, in my opinion. Like the straight up heels, you know what I mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, even when they're going to be, even when they were heels, for that matter, they were the cool heels. So, I mean, it's really, it's a very easy transition to make from being where they were to where they are now.
Yeah, but do you want a stable like this really being cool heels, especially after what they, you know, what they've been through, what they did, and all the shit that went down? You can't. This was, this is where they should be, and they should stay this way for a while, in my opinion. Jericho did give us a song. I didn't record it and I didn't write it down, but it was a show tune. Now, did anyone see or hear, do you know the video that Jericho was talking about? The video roaming,
entirely.
There's a video roaming around of, I believe, a 7-year-old MJF on the Rosie O'Donnell show.
Oh yes, I have seen that one.
I believe that's the video he was referencing. I would say it was. If I'm wrong, I apologize. But I thought that was pretty good. And just once, I like when he calls Pinnacle Pineapple. Mm-hmm. I like how Sammy had to remind him Pinnacle. Pinnacle, not Pineapple. Pinnacle. But. Good shit. Once again, we're going to have MJF and Jericho out there being the main voices for this. And as good as they were together, you know, I mean, doing all the, you know, La Dinner Debonair and all that shit. As good as they were together, I think that we're going to be in for some good shit in the next, how many weeks we got until that paper? We got 2 weeks. So we'll get one more show. All right, we'll see what they give us next week. And then we'll go from there. So
The part that I kind of enjoyed about it was I forget what the word was that he wanted to ask him about, but Jericho goes to ask Sammy Guevara what a word is in Spanish, and he goes, "What is this in Spanish?" And like you see Santana like kind of get happy for a minute where it's like, "Oh, this is my turn to speak," and he goes, "Sammy," and then you just see him deflate a little bit. Yeah. He's like, "Hey, I'm Spanish too, and I'm right next to you, motherfucker."
It was straw.
That's straw.
Straw. Well, what is straw? Because they were going to be eaten out of straws, Smark.
There you go. Yes.
Oh yeah, yeah. We're going to get some good stuff here, and I'm looking forward to next week, and then we'll see what goes from there. But now we're going to flip back a little bit here. We're going to go back to the Tay Conti. She comes out with Dark Order versus Sheeta. Man, the commentary guys were really putting over Tay in this match.
Yeah.
I don't know if you heard it, but a lot about her judo background, a lot about this background, a lot about her that they were really trying to get you to know Tay Conti in this match, throughout the match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of the idea that she had been competing in sort of high-level competitions that's for the majority of her life, so the moment wasn't necessarily too big for her.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, there you go. And I mean, look, I know Sheeta got the win in this match, but I got to tell you, if you ask me, Tay Conti was sort of, not sure what, I'm kind of made here.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, commentary putting her over, she put out a great showing. This was a great match. And like I said, didn't mean to cut you off, but I kind of think she was made in this match.
Oh, no, I think it was a big moment for her. I was going to say kind of a hot take, I guess. I don't know if it's really a hot take, but not a big fan of Sheeta as champion. Kind of, like, what do we know about her? You know what I mean? Like, the only thing they really put over, because, like you said, they did a great job of talking about, like, you know, Tay Conti's background and her, you know, jiu-jitsu and all of that, but... like, we don't know anything about Sheeta, really, and she's been champion for forever. Right. The only thing that they really said was that she was champion during the pandemic, and her goal is to keep the belt so that she can defend it in front of people.
Oh.
Which is like, okay, that's cool, but what do we know about her? And I don't even think you can necessarily blame the language barrier in that, because as we've seen, you can give people managers. That's what they're doing with Pentagon. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, trust me, I'm sure Drew McIntyre wanted the same thing.
there you go.
But, yeah, you're right. The only time they really got into Sheeta was that match she had just a few weeks ago with the trainer versus student match. I'm sorry, I'm blanking on the girl's name.
Right. Oh, yeah, that she won the
tournament.
Women's tournament.
I apologize for blanking on her name, but...
Ryu something?
There you go. There you go. That was really the only time they kind of touched on any history or background for her that I can remember.
Ryu Mizunami.
Yes.
There we go.
Thank
Took
you.
Took me a second to sort of restart the old brain there, but... yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, I mean, they talked about her a little bit on that, but, like, you don't really hear a lot about her. And it's not even like they're purposely trying to make her, like, enigmatic, because I feel like that's kind of what they were trying to do with Io a little bit, mm-hmm. where she would just occasionally talk during, you know, the video promo segments or video packages. You're not even really getting that. Like, we don't know what she thinks, how she feels about things. It's kind of a hard area to be in when you're a champion, when you're the face of the division, and you're not even, like, you know, doing promos that are subtitled or anything. It's just, there's no way to develop a character, which is a weird thing to do when you're the champion of the division. But I guess this is all kind of sort of leading to, we saw, you know, Britt Baker come out after the match. I think that is where we're headed in terms of next champion. So I'm kind of actually looking forward to that.
Well, she came out, she looked at the old screen there and watched it move up to give her number one. So she is definitely going to be the next one, it looks like. And Sheeta threw the kendo stick at her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good segment, good match. And like I said, they really did a great job putting over Tay Conti in that match. I thought all three of the commentators did. But let's go to this Miro segment here. Let's just go ahead and say it. This is the Miro that we've all been looking for. The monster looking, because he looks like a fucking monster. Looks like he'd kill you. And he now sounds like a monster. I'm glad they've got to get him away from the comedy. WWE did the same thing to this guy, and I don't want to see him flounder in the comedy segments anymore. I think he could be better at this. And, Smark, I'm going to go ahead and play it real quick. Give me one sec. It's only 36 seconds, but this was a powerful, powerful 36-second promo from him. Here we go.
Another week in no kip. I hate unresolved business. It just eats me alive after a while, which is why I came here in the first place. I need my vindication. So I don't care who you are. I don't care if you walk around backstage with your slimy impact mouth or with your emo face paint daddy. You got a title, you got a problem. So this company can put me through all the hoops and diversions they want, but they cannot keep me from my destiny any longer. So I guess the real question now is, what champion do I beat first?
There you go. He's not just putting a champion, he's putting everyone with a fucking title on their waist on notice.
Mm-hmm.
And I like it. I like this. I think this is the Miro we all need to see. I think they need to leave him like this. A as long as they can, just let him go out there and beat the fuck out of people. That's all he needs to do.
Totally agree. I mean, that's the thing is, like, he's obviously naturally a charismatic and a funny dude. So, like, I can definitely understand why they would want to incorporate that with his character. You don't want him just to be the generic big man, you know, I'm angry, I'll kill you. You don't want that necessarily, but you also do have to incorporate that into his character. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just him completely be sort of a funny guy or him sort of just be, you know, what he was doing when he was palling around with Kip Sabian. You don't necessarily want that to be the crux of his character. You want him to be a little bit more multi-dimensional than that. So you have him, you know, you already kind of established that he can be a charismatic guy, that he can be funny at times, but at the end of the day he's still an ass kicker and he's still going after the titles because that's what you've established to be important.
Well, and this once again puts all their titles a little bit up on a pedestal too.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit, which God forbid you do that. You put all your titles up there and, you know, he starts going for this title and that title and suddenly your titles are all elevated. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I like it. I like this, but
right.
I think they need to leave Miro as long as they can like this. Now, we come off of that great, powerful little segment, and I've got two segments here to shit on. And I think Smart's going to be right here with me. Billy Gunn versus QT Marshall.
Yes, I will pass you the toilet paper.
Okay. He just passed me a fucking lighter. I'm with JR as far as I'm concerned right now. Fucking I don't even care. If you killed me in the middle of this match, I would probably come to you in a fucking dream and thank you. Billy Gunn versus QT Marshall was the match here. Once again, you're trying to get this young whippersnapper QT Marshall, what is he, 35, over. You decide to put him in the ring with the old 57-year-old man just to and make him have this big competitive match. If you're trying to get him over, he should have squashed Billy Gunn. No. AEW's got to turn it into a clusterfuck of a match with everyone brawling, blah, blah. We get this wooden chair coming out. Only good part of this match was Nick Camarado taking the chair shot, the, you know, unprotected chair shot like a beast, but also a wooden chair, and you can gimmick the shit out of a wooden chair. So, really, Smark, the toilet paper is back to you, sir.
Just why? Why did this happen? Why did this need to happen? Like, here's the thing. I mean, this is like this is coming off of they broke a million viewers. And like you're trying to keep the momentum going. We didn't really talk about it, but NXT actually their viewership went up this week from last week. So you know everything's going well. You have an opportunity again with you know without competition to sort of build a really good show, and this is one of the things that you deem to be part of what should be a really good show. Like I don't understand the point in, I mean, other than just having building a guy up sort of like how they did like in the early 90s WCW where they would build up people for Hulk Hogan to squash. I guess they're building QT up for, you know, Cody can finally get his big pay-per-view win, I guess. But like, why? Like, who cares? Like, who cares about this guy?
I mean, what was it? More to get fucking Dustin over coming down with the bull rope? Are we leading to a bull rope match here with Dustin and QT?
Didn't they already do that like over the summer? But not with QT Marshall, but it was Butcher and the Blade. Dusty and QT. I think it was Dusty and QT.
They were a team at the time. I think you're right. I think we complained about that match too. But listen, you want to get QT over? That's fine. By the way, I'm really getting sick. I'm just going to start calling him Marshall because QT is just really gross and I don't. That's like calling another man delicious. Y'all get the joke out there. call a grown man delicious. you want to get him over, fine. He shouldn't be out there having a 15-minute match with Billy Gunn, 57 years old. He should be squashing Billy Gunn. and his crew should not have to get involved at all. That's the way this should have gone. We didn't need the fucking clusterfuck chaos finish. AEW's got to have some matches. That's not, if you're building someone, you don't need to have the chaotic finish. Just let it happen. Let it build. That's it. Obviously,
yeah,
not
always. Yeah, you just let a match end, like even in ECW where it was just like, fucking anything goes, and that's what they told you at the beginning. Like they would still have matches that were just like, all right, this is just a straight up clean cut. Somebody goes over, somebody doesn't.
Yeah, I mean that. I'm just saying, if you're trying to get this group over as some sort of badass group, fine. That there's a way to do it. Going out there 15 minutes or whatever that match was with Billy Gunn isn't the way to do it. QT Marshall should have gone out there, beat the shit out of him, done, over. His crew doesn't have to get involved. They should have walked out like fucking badass winners. And then, you know, have Nick Camarado take that chair shot another day when he's in a match.
Yeah, you have QT Marshall to just straight up route Billy Gunn, just beat him cleanly, beat him easily. And then he cuts his hair off after the match and glues it onto his head instead of using the hair plugs.
There you go. They're overproducing, overbooking some of the stuff, I think. You let some of this shit breathe, man. Let QT Marshall get the win. Let Nick Camarado take that chair shot another time when he's in a match. Let that, you know, let that breathe. Then let this breathe. Man, awful, awful, awful. Mm-hmm. Speaking of awful. This Elite stuff, Mark. First of all, I've asked the question already. Why is Gallows and Anderson there? And why does Gallows look like a Jesse Ventura wannabe? I mean, Impact ratings are going down. And I believe last week when they went down, it was Omega versus Rich Swann.
No, that was, I mean, yes and no. That is the feud. That is going to be a match this weekend, which, by the by, we didn't really talk about it Friday, so let's just talk about it now. They announced that Mauro Ranallo is going to be calling that match.
Yes.
Although, interestingly enough, they mentioned that he was going to be calling that match, not that pay-per-view. Right. I feel like that's an important distinction.
Right. One match. Exactly. Which is going to be great. I mean, I really think Mauro Ranallo is a great announcer. He loves what he does. He loves being there. He loves seeing the action. He's very animated during the action and passionate. What's not to like about him? I really wish he'd do more. I know he's got some his own mental health issues, and he deals with them very well. But I could see the wrestling business being a very, very, very tough place for him. Dealing with those issues at times.
Not only that, which is very true, and it very, very well could be, because actually you sort of had Big Cass was talking about that earlier. He kind of put out a tweet talking about how he sort of just tried to hide all of his mental health issues because this sort of overall ideology in terms of like the wrestling locker room is that you just tough that shit out. You don't really mention it.
Right.
And he said that that was not the right way to go about that. And, you know, sort of you could kind of tell that it wasn't the right way to go about it based on some of the way, you know, the way his career went when he was with WWE. But wrestling, not necessarily the best place to be for somebody that's going through some of the things or that, you know, Mauro goes through. Not only that, but, like, he has a wealth of other opportunities, too, because he's a straight-up play-by-play guy. Like, he's not limited to just wrestling. He does, you know, MMA, he can do boxing, he can do all kinds of shit. So he's got opportunities pretty much wherever he wants to work.
I could see him getting involved with this Triller deal eventually. By the way, I was wrong. What's his name? Jake Paul won against Ben Askren.
Mm-hmm.
And we were
actually thought that was going to happen.
And we were introduced to Purple Urkel. That's right. Urkel has his own weed now.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch any of this?
I did not.
Like,
but,
I mean, after the fact, obviously. But
no, the only thing I saw was the knockout to Askren, which. Whatever. I see a lot of people saying the fight was fixed. It actually looks like Logan or Jake Paul landed a hell of a right hook, and it landed on the button. So whatever. And the ref stoppage, ref's looking at him. We're not. The camera was behind him. So I didn't watch any of it. I know the first one of these, this is the second one they've done. Mm-hmm. And Triller is like a competition to TikTok. It's exactly right. It's exactly what they are.
They do all kinds of things because right. The other day or yesterday, actually, they had it was a 420 special. Mm-hmm. So yesterday, of course, being 420, they had Method Man and Redman. They had a concert. They did one of the versus battles that they do where you have like two musicians and they get together and they like play their greatest hits, as it were. Then it kind of became a big prominent thing during quarantine. It's actually a really cool show. Right. So, yeah, I really enjoyed that. But, yeah, they have their fingers in a lot of pies.
Yeah, and from what I heard, the first show did really good. This show, we're going to wait and see. But looks like these guys just
really good. Like, they were talking about it on The Observer, but basically it just obliterated WrestleMania in, like, every fucking tangible category. Pay-per-view buys, internet searches, social media. Like, everybody was talking about it. Versus whereas, you know, WrestleMania was kind of just limited to wrestling fans for the most part, sans some of the people that were talking about Bad Bunny. But other than that, like, it was a very popular thing because it was like basically like a modern day circus. Like, mm-hmm. You were talking about the Purple Oracle thing. That was a skit that happened during the pay-per-view.
Yes.
You have, you know, Jaleel White hanging out with Snoop Dogg, you know, talking about weed. You have fucking like these concerts. There was a concert by like, a West Coast rap supergroup. You had, there's a Mount Westmore. So you had Ice Cube, you had Too Short, E40, somebody else I can't remember, probably not important. But anyways, you just have all these, like, these concerts, these big name celebrities, all these people, Oscar De La Hoya being like drunk. Oh,
you know what, before we get back to AEW, let me say something. I used to be a big boxing fan. My dad is a huge boxing fan. De La Hoya's fought many demons in his time, during his time in boxing. It was very heartbreaking to hear him. I heard his commentary. It was kind of heartbreaking. Again, he's fought his demons off a few times, but looks like there's not really taking. I hope he gets some help. I do.
It happens. But I will say, just sort of, you know, as we kind of transition out of that, I think the amount of success that they had, like, Pandora's box might be open.
Oh, yeah.
Because I could very easily see WWE seeing this and trying to emulate this in some form or fashion to where we end up getting pay-per-views that have, because they already did it. Like, they already enjoy shoehorning, mainly for like SummerSlam and WrestleMania, these sort of weird celebrity cameos and performances. I wouldn't be surprised if we see a lot more of that in the future. So buckle up for that.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some of that. But, you know, like, this Triller thing, let's keep an eye on it, because I got a feeling it's going to be kind of breakthrough in the next year here.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Yeah, I can see that.
And I mean, not just in 2021. I mean, literally the next 12 months. So,
sure. Yeah, because they're already starting to try to line up who the next fight for Jake Paul is going to be. There's some rumors that it might even be Conor McGregor.
Oh, that would be a mistake.
For whom, though? Because I do agree with you, but I want to see if we're on the same page. Because I kind of think that McGregor would take him out. But
I think McGregor would take him out just for what I saw with McGregor with Mayweather.
Right.
I think that would be a mistake for him. He needs to go against the, well, they need to put him against a boxer. I'm sorry, but they've got to put him against a real boxer. Otherwise, people are just going to keep fucking with him. Oh, he can only beat this guy. He can only beat that guy. He's got to go against a real boxer.
Again, we were talking about just potential future opponents, the sort of overall betting odds. The only boxer that I think they're actually potentially lining him up against was Tyson Fury has a half brother. I forget what his name is.
Right.
But that's the only like legitimate boxer.
Right.
I was seeing a lot of other like UFC fighters, and Nate Diaz was one.
Ooh.
I think BJ Penn's name came up.
Oh.
Like just all these people who are like not boxers, but would probably be willing to take a dive for money. I mean, fight Jake Paul.
Well, see, here's the problem with BJ Penn. Everyone could say, oh, he's past his prime. He is. He's past his prime. You know, who was the first one you mentioned?
Tyson. Well, there's Tyson Fury's brother, also Nate Diaz.
Ooh, I wouldn't want to go near either one of the Diaz brothers. I'm telling you now, dude. Killers. He's gonna run out of fucking opponents soon, so they're gonna have to put him in the ring with someone that can really challenge his ability. I didn't see the whole match. All I saw was the knockout. So, but from what I'm seeing on social media, he's got something. We'll see where it goes. But anyway, let's get back to this AEW. I'm glad we got all that out because that was something I actually wanted to mention and didn't have in my notes anywhere.
Sure.
Anyway, back to this Elite stuff. We were talking about how bad it was. They're back there. They're cutting a promo in their new trailer. And then, you know, I kind of joked before, we got Moxley kind of going stone cold here with, you know, he's got the big bully bar on the pickup truck and runs into the trailer, breaks out windows with a pipe, you know, a little a la Goldberg-ish, except he actually used the pipe like a smart person. so he's like, I've seen this one before. I'm not enjoying it. Personally, I'm just not enjoying it. Any of this. I don't like I think the Elite stuff is kind of stupid. It's who cares? It's who gives a shit at this point. So
there you go. The highlight of it for me was at the very end, because you had, like you said, you had Jon Moxley going through breaking all these windows with a pipe alongside Jon Moxley. Eddie Kingston's there too. And like towards the end, it looked like Moxley wanted just another shot with the pipe. And like, well, he like throws the pipe in, but I think the pipe like bounces off and ends up hitting the ground. But like Kingston's right there and he just sort of has to sidestep. And he's like, you know, I would like, I'd appreciate it if you waited till I was out of the way. He's like, yeah. Well, if you would get out of the way. He's like, oh, God, you're always breaking shit.
I think I love you, but come on, man, don't kill me. good stuff. Good stuff at the end there. Again, I'm not crazy about what they're doing with Moxley right now. I'd like him and Kingston together. I think this Elite thing is going to – who else are they going to join with? They can't take out the Elite by themselves. So are we going to have another fucking stable now coming up? Are they going to start another stable? Is that what we're going here?
I mean, I guess. Either that or they just, at some point, they just kind of drop it. Which, I mean, that's not necessarily what they do, but you're right. I mean, there's already a bunch of stables, which I don't necessarily mind. I think it's a good way to sort of, you know, set up feuds and rivalries or whatever. It's better than just, okay, these are bad guys. They take on good guys, vice versa. You set up a little bit of, you know, you can have good guys, bad guys. You set up a whole different, you know, realm of possibilities with matches, kind of like how they have going on in New Japan with all their factions. So I like that part of it. And it's different from, like we were talking about WWE, where they can't have a faction go longer than 2 months, seemingly, without having the urge to break them up.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess we'll see where it goes. But, yeah, I mean, they've got, you know, what, like 8 guys in the Elite that they need to go through, and there's only 2 of them. So, anyway, we talked a little bit about this Powerhouse Hobbs versus Christian match already a little bit. By the way, next week, it's Cage versus Page. That's right. Again, I thought this match was unnecessarily long. Christian ended up winning the match, but I know they're trying to go for this whole outwork everyone, but this match did not need to be that long. It was dragging and dragging. So, we talked about it earlier. We don't need to get into it again. Get into this main event real quick. Darby Allin versus Jungle Boy for the TNT Championship. Really good match right here. I got to be honest. It was hard to take notes. You couldn't take your eyes off the fucking screen, or you would miss something. These guys are both fast-moving, fast-paced. And I really enjoyed the match between these two guys. They're both very creative, obviously. You get Sting and Luchasaurus outside the ring, taking your eyes off the match, which I figured might as well start taking notes now. And a hard slap by Jungle Boy to Darby's ear. Did you see that one where Darby actually grabbed his ear? I was like, oh, shit, did he hurt Darby?
Okay. Yeah, he got him with a good one.
He did. He slapped him right in the fucking ear. And then Darby retained. And then we get Scorpio Sky and Ethan Page coming out. They beat them both down. Archer comes out. They both give him a low blow. And then Sting comes out with a bat. Doesn't swing the bat. They run from Sting.
Yes. Sting with his bat is way more powerful than this like 7-foot monster guy.
Monster coming at you. I'm not saying it was a bad show, but they're getting a little hokey with this Sting stuff is all I'm saying. A little bit.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit hokey with some of this Sting stuff. But, all right. I guess we can, couple little AEW things we can get into, Smart, because I really got nothing else on AEW. Just, they got some tightening up to do as far as I'm concerned. But, Miro. We were talking about Miro earlier. Dirt Sheet Radio.
Yeah,
Dirt Sheet Radio put out something on Miro that, and I'm going to get into this real quick. He actually paid to host a private screening of the new Mortal Kombat movie for the whole AEW locker room. I got to tell you, this new Mortal Kombat movie looks pretty fucking badass, dude.
Yes, definitely. I'm really excited for it. It's going to be coming out Friday.
Yeah.
The old HBO Go Max, whatever we're calling it these days.
Yeah, I was a fan of all the other Mortal Kombats, and this one looks really good. I mean, they're already putting out trailers and stuff of, like, they said the first 7 minutes is, like, so fucking brutal and bloody. But I can't wait to see this.
Right. Well, that's a great part about it, because, like I said, I'm super excited for it, too. But, like, I don't know what it is that I'm expecting. Like, my hopes are not high for this, like, super compelling narrative. I just want to see some bloody shit and then, like, some Sub-Zero, and I'm good.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is an entirely doable thing. Like,
oh, yeah.
I feel like they can definitely deliver.
Oh, well, I mean, you got Sub-Zero and Scorpion right here on the thing. I'm sure we're going to get some Raiden in this and all kinds of good shit. I'm definitely wanting to watch this. So, but what a guy Miro is, you know. And again, I know this doesn't fit when you're trying to push this guy as a monster, but we got Dirt Sheets now, man. Shit just doesn't stop. There's nothing you can do about it. Meanwhile, pretty cool fucking move to just say, hey, why don't we take a break and go see a movie?
Right. Well, then that's even the thing, was he wasn't even putting it out there that he did that.
Right.
Because the original tweet was just him saying that the new Mortal Kombat movie was a flawless victory. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. And it's a picture of him by the movie poster. And then Cody sends out a tweet that's, like, pimping out the fact that he, like, rented out the theater for everybody. Mm. So it's Cody being in full Cody shell mode, which isn't a bad thing, necessarily, but...
Right. No, not a bad thing at all. Not a bad thing at all, but pretty cool of Miro to do there. And like I said, this Mortal Kombat movie looks pretty goddamn good. And on the heels of a couple more little AEW news things, you know, we've all seen the sign on the wall that WWE now has, the whole no leg slapping thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, it seems that AEW has a sign on their wall too.
Oh,
seems they've had a little problem with spoilers, Mark. Things coming out that shouldn't, you know what spoilers are. We all know what spoilers are. I'm not going to insult your intelligence here trying to explain what spoilers are. But it looks like they've had a little problem with it, you know, and they can't do much. They're just trying to hold stuff back so at least people are somewhat surprised when stuff goes on. Back when Eric Bischoff was coming on, that got leaked out. And they have a sign that instead of, you know, no leg slapping, their sign says, spoilers cost jobs. Don't do it.
You say that now. that's a very, like, you know, that sets a precedence. Mm. Like, if you say that you're going to fire people for spoilers, then all of a sudden somebody high profile ends up being the rat. Are you going to end up living up to your promise? If you end up fucking being that, like, Kenny Omega's out there, Stooges and a Meltzer, you getting rid of Kenny Omega?
Yeah. What are you going to do? Really? But I don't know. I guess we'll see something soon. But yeah.
I mean,
so,
it's a tale as old as time, though. Because, like, yeah. I mean, it happens in WWE. It's been happening for years. It was happening in fucking WCW. It's a decades old thing. You can't really stop it because, you know, they obviously never say, oh, hey, you can go ahead and cite me on this. It's always an anonymous source. So it's like, it seems like it'd be very hard to sort of suss out unless
right.
you limit the information to like two or three people in hopes of trying to kind of, you know, figure out who the rat is.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I just think it's funny. They've got, don't do it.
Wow. Yes, as though it was just a matter of a misunderstanding that it's not allowed.
I can just hear Stallone saying that whole thing. Yeah. Spoil this guy's job. Don't do it. No.
Like, well, shit, now that I know that you don't want me to do it, I'll go ahead and stop.
Don't you dare do it. I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't do it.
Maybe that's what he's doing these days. Maybe fucking Sylvester Stallone is just hanging outside Daly's place.
And don't you do it. Do it now. Don't you do it. Mick. No, anyway. So there you go. And, yeah, signs. Everyone's got to have a sign when you go out. Don't do it. Mm. Don't do it.
Signs everywhere a sign.
Oh. There you go. A little Tesla for you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I see where you were going there. I do. Real quick, just want to throw this out there. Just something I didn't know. I figured I'd share with you guys real quick. We don't need to spend a lot of time on this. It's not the greatest story in the world to spend time on. Cesar Bononi, guy I've been kind of putting over. Really like the guy. You know, looks like a fucking wrestler. Goes out there and has good matches. Looks like they've got some confidence in him, too, over there at AEW. It looks like he's going through some shit right now. His wife actually has leukemia. Actually is looking to get a bone marrow transplant. And didn't realize that, but he did take Twitter and give a few updates. A while back, he said this. Another update last couple weeks was a little bit rough because of the side effects of chemo. But Camilla, his wife, is recovering good. Her sister is COVID clear, tested negative yesterday, and will be here on Monday. Transplant is scheduled for April 10th, so we can celebrate Mother's Day. Don't know how it went from there. This article isn't that old. It's actually just from April 19th, but I guess he hasn't given another update since. But just something I didn't know. I mean, this guy's going through a lot, trying to really get his career going. They see a lot in him, it looks like. I do, too. Like I've said before, the guy is just a fucking beast. And, man, I really hope everything works out for him and his wife. So, tough stuff going on. But it looks like the sister may be the donor. Looks like the sister's a match, and that's why I believe he said she's COVID negative. They must have tested her for COVID, and she was negative, so they can bring her in the hospital. And, I don't know. Hopefully we get another update, and his wife is all good, and the transplant worked. I have a friend who had the same thing, got the leukemia update, diagnosis, got the transplant from a stranger, and this was 10 years ago. He's still kicking and doing great. This was one of my first real friends in Florida, Josh. So, you know, these things can go very well if the body takes the transplant.
Right.
So, you know, good thoughts. Good thoughts on that. So, anyway, you sent me something over here.
I indeed did, yes. So, We've actually been talking about MLW quite a bit lately. We're talking about the Azteca Underground and their various patents on smoker jackets and Darby hats and all kinds of shit like that. But anyways, the more relevant thing or that this week's discussion about MLW is that they done went and landed themselves a television deal. Yep. So this is from our friends at Wrestling Inc. They're not really our friends. MLW. Don't know why I felt the need to say that. MLW owner Kurt Bauer sat down with Wrestling Inc.'s own Raj Geary to talk about MLW's new TV deal with Vice TV. Bauer revealed the process for this deal started a year ago and was held up by the COVID-19 pandemic. Fun fact, they are also apparently in talks with New Japan, and that kind of fell through Vice, not MLW. Anyways, we had a few go-arounds with them, Bauer said. We actually spoke with them first with our agency about last winter. So, like, January, February. Thank you for elaborating as to what winter was. January, February of 2020. Or 2020, rather. Then the pandemic hit, and everybody's game plan for whether on our side of the conversation or the network or the streaming partner, it all changed. Budgets got weird. Ad dollars got weird. I scrolled when I shouldn't have. Everything got weird. Everything became a big question mark. And also from our end, they wanted to know when we could run, and we didn't have those answers for a while. So like a lot of conversations, we hoped we could revisit them and move forward. We were able to reignite the conversation down the road, and we're happy about that. Ever since January, it seemed we just had some really interesting conversations that are still in play with other things we're working on more than just this, but this is a big one for us and we're excited about it. So apparently it's going to be May 1st is when the show is going to start on Vice.
All right. And I don't know if anyone knows, but if you're looking for Vice, it's not Vices. You don't need any more Vices. None of us do. But if you're looking for the channel, I believe it's on Pluto for free and Tubi, right? I know Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's pretty damn good right there, man. Just be one more wrestling show we can add to the what night. Let's see. May 1st is going to end up being a what's that going to be?
Saturday.
Yeah, it's just Saturday. Okay. All right. Not bad. Something to watch on Saturday. Can't beat that. So, and again, I know you can get Pluto on all your devices, phones, Amazon, Fire Sticks, Roku, all of them have Pluto TV.
Mm-hmm. And I understand, there's also Ring of Honor has their own little streaming channel on, I think it's Stir.
Yeah, and I mean, Impact's got their own channel on Pluto. I don't think anybody watches it, but it's there.
It's there.
It's there. I mean, if you really want to, you know, if you ever want to see it, it's there for you.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. So good for them, man. Landing a TV deal. MLW getting a little rub there. I like it. So, all right, there we go. Let's, a couple of, little WWE things. They've moved a couple people from, Raw to SmackDown and you know, vice versa here. Thank you, sir. Mia Yim has been moved over to SmackDown, and that's a good thing in my opinion. And Shane Thorne, who was Slapjack, has also been moved over to SmackDown. This is all according to John Pollock of PostWrestling.com. Listen to those guys right there if you want a really detailed review of Raw right there and SmackDown. So it looks like they're moving some people over there. And I expect to see some more switches going on just to shake it up a little bit, as Vince would say. So I expect to see a few more switches happening soon. And, you know, it's funny. We were talking about releases last week. And there were rumored to be so many more coming up. Well, we have so many more coming up. And they've been kind of quiet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we were talking about that. There was supposed to be a big sort of purge of NXT talent. We never really saw that. It's kind of funny because I said that on Friday that I was happy and relieved that Ever Rise dodged a bullet. Not only did they dodge a bullet, but they were also on NXT Tuesday. Right. So they full on are nice and secure. Good for them.
Yeah.
I feel the Reckoning thing, or Mia Yim, I guess, I don't know what it is that they're planning on calling her these days. It was announced as Reckoning, so who fucking knows? But I mean, they're not touring right now, so it's not really a huge deal. But man, like, kind of sucks that they broke her and Keith Lee up, just in terms of who's on what show.
Yeah, well, maybe that was a, I don't know.
I don't know. Does it really violate the brand, like the brand exclusivity thing, the whole brand split, if Keith Lee shows up on SmackDown's catering instead of Raw's catering?
I don't know. I'm not quite sure how that works, but I guess we'll see. damn, that was rough, man.
Says to hang tight. Big things are coming, but I don't know if that means in WWE or not.
Yeah, I don't know either. But anyway, speaking of not knowing things, I'm sure a lot of us were wondering, what's old AJ Lee, AJ Mendez, doing besides just being married to CM Punk and living the good life out there? It looks like she is actually going to be writing movies. Is what it's looking like. The actress from Lucifer, Amy Garcia, and they call her New York Times best-selling author AJ Mendez, have been brought on to pen the upcoming untitled 47 Ronin sequel for Universal 1440 Entertainment, the action fantasy pick, which is being directed by Mulan's Ron Yuan, Yoon, Y-U-A-N. Sorry. As we first told you, is the follow. It's kind of the follow-up to the 2013 Universal Keanu Reeves movie, which grossed $151 million worldwide. That's pretty goddamn good. So it looks like her and the other girl, AJ, is being brought on to actually start writing movies. I have never seen 47 Ronin, but I got to tell you, after seeing this, I'm probably going to have to check it out. So, but Amy was on doing an interview, and she said, AJ and I are excited to write a diverse and inclusive action film, said Garcia. The director's vision to blend martial arts, horror, cyberpunk, and action was inspiring, and we'd like to thank the team at 1440 for being so supportive. As creators of color, we're honored to be a part of modern multicultural story with powerful female leads, says Mendez. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see what's coming up soon. This movie hasn't even been written yet, but we'll see what goes on. But really good for AJ Lee over there getting... I mean, you know, you never know what people are going to do when they get out of wrestling, and looks like she's going to be not only starring in movies, which is pretty impressive in itself, but she's going to be writing movies. That's pretty fucking... that's really impressive. Go ahead.
Well, not only that, but actually there's a little bit of a bonus, a little double dip here. Not only is she going to be writing that movie that we just got to talk about, on Fightful they're saying that she's also going to be penning the 80th anniversary issue of Wonder Woman for DC Comics.
Wow.
Which... is interesting in its own right, but it gets a little bit more interesting if you follow the old rabbit hole, because it's this big article from Fightful that's written about what AJ Lee's been doing and how she's writing this and how big of a deal this is. But the author of this here article is old Teela Hendricks herself. So she apparently works a little bit for Fightful now. She's also apparently, this is from the bottom of the article, she's written a bunch of children's books that are available on Amazon. Teela, not AJ. Right. So there's, it's not easy being a sloth. A fish with a wish is Trish. Nosy Rosie and the Secret Surprise. And my personal favorite, Barry Bo Weevil and the fraudulent charge against Jay Lethal. Oh, wait, I made that one up, but the other ones are very much real.
I like that one. I like that one. Yeah, well, good for Taylor Hendricks landing something after she tried to ruin someone's career.
Yeah, that was kind of interesting, though. So she's it's weird to see like a wrestler writing another thing about another wrestler. Mm. Sort of odd. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess former in both cases, but.
And you know that it even comes a little more. I mean, Punk was doing some comic book stuff, right, for a while there.
Yeah, I think he was writing for Thor. I want to say
right.
So that's a whole nother interesting thing because that's rival comic book promotions.
Look at the layers we just uncovered there, man. Fucking layers, mm-hmm. Dude. That's pretty cool.
So it's a house divided.
But congratulations to AJ Mendez or AJ Lee or AJ Brooks. I'm not sure what name she uses. But congratulations to her for getting a little movie writing deal there. And we'll keep you updated if we get stuff on when this movie is going to actually be out. So there you go. And to end on one more congratulations, this isn't one we need to spend a ton of time on. We'll go ahead and roll out of here right after this. But on Ronda Rousey's own YouTube channel, Smark, mm-hmm. She announced finally that she is 4 months pregnant. So all of you expecting for her to come back, guess what? You're wrong. There you go. But yeah.
Way to ruin dreams.
Well, everyone was like, oh, she's coming back. She's coming back. She's coming back. She's got to come back. Hey, guess what? Finally pregnant. This has been, what, a year and a half they've spent trying to get pregnant? This guy has had a very rough go at it. He's probably like, thank God I can take a fucking breathe.
I'm exhausted. Everything hurts. No, I mean, that's the kind of thing is like, you know, we've talked about it on the show, and I've said it as much. I'm going to do the whole victory lap thing where I bury Horowitz, pat myself on the back here. I didn't think she was coming back. There's just something about just her overall vibe and some of the things she was saying, and not in terms of like, you know, some of the stuff she was saying in kayfabe while she was there, but I mean, just in general, it just seemed like she was not all that eager to try to get back.
Well, and that's kind of why I never mentioned all the stories about her coming back, because I didn't either. I don't think she really wants to. I think she had her run. She'll come back when she wants to, which is what she's exactly her words. I'll come back when I want to. But obviously now she's only 4 months pregnant. So she's got a few more months on that, and then afterwards. And but congratulations, finally! Like I said, it's been like, I think like a year and a half she's been gone, right?
Yeah.
So you know, congratulations to her and her husband, Travis. I forget his
Brown.
Travis Brown. Yeah. Yeah, that's great, man. Good stuff. I mean, that's what she left for. She wanted to start a family. So, you know, this is what she wanted, and good for her. Good for her, man. Awesome shit right there. And I kind of wanted to end on a good note after we did a lot of shitting on a lot of wrestling tonight. But we really did, man. We really did. But I got to tell you, man, it's just getting rough. So, like I said, that's why we're going to be talking less and less about Raw. Not only is it just not good, but you're already 2 days removed from it. There's just no reason to keep it going. You know, after that, by the time we get to it, it's like, what else are you going to hear that you haven't heard or haven't thought of? So.
Well, okay. Well, kind of this is a little bit of an impromptu thing, but it shouldn't take too long. Since you said that, and that is fair, we have spent a lot of time bashing shit that we didn't like. So real quick, just go through. What was your favorite thing that happened within these last three shows? Like, I'll just go ahead and get it out of the way and just say for me it was the Cameron Grimes segment. You had the Cameron Grimes at the beginning and then the Cameron Grimes Kyle O'Reilly match. Anytime I get Cameron Grimes, I'm a happy man. So there you go. So what was yours for the anything that happened on Raw, SmackDown, not SmackDown, Raw, NXT, AEW? What was your big thing that you enjoyed last couple shows?
Oh, wow. Pr- probably the, and this isn't even a match. This is the, it, it's the little feud going on with Pinnacle and Jericho's, the Inner Circle. That's really, that's good shit. I think that's the only thing I can think of.
I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, really, when you go through, it's, I mean, matches are matches, but, you know, as far as favorite stuff, it's been promos lately, as far as I'm concerned. So, I don't know. And I get it, Weebs. If Ronda had to use me, she would have gotten knocked up on the first try. Probably. I wouldn't have minded. She would have thrown me around a little bit, put me in a few holds, little triangles, maybe some squares, maybe some rear naked chokes.
I see.
Yeah. But sorry, kind of got lost there for a second there.
It happens. It happens. I understand. She's
I know.
Fetching young lady.
But she is. But all right. We got through everything, man, and very, very good time here. We're gonna be right about 2 hours, and I would say we're right around 2 hours exactly. So once again, Weeb shows up right when we're ending the show. Good job, buddy. Way to do this. Nice moves. Nice moves. I like them. I like them. I see what you're doing. I do.
there was a period of time for like there's like a span of a week or two where just because it was busy, it was something, there was nothing more than that, but Papa Dave would show up at the very end of the high marks and then just plug his show and then just leave the chat room, and I was like, man, I like his style.
Get in and get out, man. Do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Get in there, get out of there. I like it. But see, Waves, he comes in, he gets a few mentions, and he boom, out of here, done.
That's right.
Out of here and done. All right. So what we're gonna do is go ahead and one more time. Let me pull up these plugs right here. Let me find. Take your drunken ass home. I'm not drunken, but I'm glad I'm home.
There you go.
Right. So there we go. It's the High Marks, of course. You guys want to be checking them out. Check them out on Mixler.com/Metal Mitt Network. I did not stutter. There are two T's in Mitt. Mixler.com/Metal Mitt Network. Sundays, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Cheese Man, Mojo, and G Wiz. Definitely be over there checking those guys out. Excuse me. And of course, you got Bobby Anthem, Bobby Blades, The Inhuman Experience. Find them on Apple, Google, everywhere you find podcasts. They are on there. And of course, the Everything Unscripted Wrestling podcast. Definitely want to be checking those guys out. I am going to be on there doing that Settle It in the Ring, but I'm going to be hosting that little segment there soon. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. Meanwhile, they can be found on all the usual podcast platforms, like I said, and Blog Talk Radio. And, of course, Steve Milan, shout out for sharing the show. Letterboxd.com/Steven Milan. Put two L's in Milan. He's over there. He's reviewing films. He's reviewing movies. You want to check him out. And if you want to check us out, Spreaker, Stitcher, Anchor, YouTube, iHeart, Spotify, Google. Go ahead.
That's right. Mondays, 8:30 on the Metal Mitt Podcast Network. Be sure to check out Cheese on Sports. Cheese Man. Sundays, 10:30 a.m. You can go ahead and check out Mo Dirk, City Machine Guns with Mojo and Dirk. They had a rather lively discussion over who was the hotter female between. This is a 90s battle. Clarissa of Clarissa Explains It All, aka Melissa Joan Hart, or Topanga. It was a classic 90s battle. You can kind of weigh in at home as you think about this, but be sure to check them out Sundays, 10:30 a.m. for more discussions like that and wrestling-related discussions, if that's your thing, you weirdo. Mm. Anyways, be sure to check out our friends, last but not least, at Planet Ragontour. It's the Planet Ragontour podcast with Bobby and the Papa Dave Sincere and Young Nasty. All 16 episodes are available for your listening pleasure. Ooh. Season 2 is coming soon, so be subscribed, be prepared.
There you go. Be prepared like a Boy Scout. That's right. Always prepared. And, man, I'm going to Topanga on that one, brother.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is a situation pretty much everybody. Dirk was kind of the odd man out in the situation. He was rocking with Melissa Joan Hart, but everybody else sort of in the Topanga camp.
A little surprising. A little surprising right there. But anyway, I agree with that. And listen, chat room, appreciate everybody joining us. Always 100%. Chat room, you can always get mixer.com/dirtsheet. Dudes, come on in. It's fun. It's free. Come check us out. And you guys know where to always find us, like I said already. Thank you, chat room. Thank you, downloaders. Thank you, Smark. And Friday night, right back here. See you.
Adios.
Oh, yeah! Recline over! Bullet Club.